Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Tiffany Mack. Before I bring her on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Click that link in the description. Check us out on Rockfin. It's where you get our premium content. You can also get our regular shows, and best of all the content from every creator on Rockfin. Check out the podcasts that we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You get those on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. You can also follow us on Facebook. Those links are also in the description. Today I want to welcome Tiffany Mack. She obtained her degree in broadcast journalism from the University of Kentucky in 2000. In addition to working as a producer with periodic co-hosting appearances on the Gray Alien Report podcast beginning in 2016. She has traveled extensively and lived in Greece for a number of years, where she was employed at the NATO missile firing installation. As an ET contactee, her current interests include study of the unexplained, as well as issues relating to consciousness and events or occurrences that fall outside the normal range of human experiences. She is currently a host on Universal Secrets podcast. Tiffany, welcome. How you doing?
Thank you. Yes, I am antsy, but I'm here. I just said, you know, right before the show that I've done probably close to 150 shows, but every time I get this anxiety, this stress, and my hands are sweating, and yeah, so
oh, it's gonna be here. A good time. And you know what? I get there too sometimes, but you know, we'll get through it because we're gonna have fun. It's great to have you on, and I love talking with other contactees and experiencers, especially to get different perspectives and help those that really haven't had any experiences, first of all, get a base understanding. Also, it may be help some of those that have fear or maybe trauma surrounding their experiences or just the phenomenon overall. Now, this is your first time on. I'd really like you to tell us more just about yourself, your background, and what started you down your path. I know you've had some experiences in your life. How early of an age did that start?
You know, I've had a whole long history of experiences that are bizarre. You know, I come from a military family. My grandfather was in the Strategic Air Command, and I always sort of started out like that. You know, he's just the big patriarchy of the family, and has guided us through a very strange and wonderful world. And I talk about him because almost all of the women in my mom's family, all of his daughters, all had these extraordinary senses. So when I say that, I mean anything from ETs to spirits to seeing orbs and UFOs and lights and little beings. And we talked about it occasionally throughout my life at different times. But I do remember some situations when I was a child that were more related to the paranormal phenomenon of ghosts and hauntings. So I think that when it comes to me and in my family and my life, I'm a multi-experiencer. And I do think that a lot of people who experience the ET phenomenon are multi-experiencers. So, you know, seeing a UFO may be one big thing for somebody, and they may only see it once in their life, and that may be it. But then there's people like me and the women in my family who have some form of psychic abilities, and, you know, we have a connection to each other. I see it as being very unique to our family, but I've learned throughout the years that it is really a God-given gift. And I don't say God-given as in a real religious term. I'm saying, like, universally, this is something that is within each human being. It's just something that we have to learn to access and use. So I'm not saying that I'm something special. I'm saying that I have become aware of these things and I'm using them and trying to propagate knowledge when it comes to my daughters so that, you know, they can excel at these gifts as well in the future. And, you know, another thing is that before we get too far down the road, I do want to say that me being a student of journalism throughout the years, I really didn't think that I was going to go back into this world. I did radio for a few years in college, and then I worked for a few different Fox TV stations. I never got anywhere that I wanted to be. I ended up going across the ocean and working for our government, and I had some experiences there. So, you know, I think that I think this is all tied to my grandfather with the military. I think that they just sort of reeled me back in and spun me around when I was working for NSA Suitabe and NAMFI. And I had experiences there while I was on base. So depends on where you want to go with this.
Well, yeah, this is super interesting. We can go plenty of directions. First, I want to start with, what were some of the most profound experiences, for you before you entered the military?
Well, I wasn't in the military. I was a contractor, so I wasn't enlisted, just to be clear. I'm sorry, repeat the question. My mind just went blank.
No problem. What were some of the most profound early childhood, or, you know, what were some of the first experiences for you that stick out in your mind?
Okay. One of the first experiences that I really have a good memory of was when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I was at my grandparents' house, you know, coming from a very large family. We would go there every weekend and spend time together. There could have been 30, there could have been 50 people. And so we would go and gather every weekend, and this was no exception. One of the things that we did was just all the kids play chase, tag, hide and seek. And the house was 3 stories, and there were 3 bedrooms on the top floor, long hallway. And at the end of the hallway, there was a floor-to-ceiling mirror. So I ran upstairs to try to find my cousins. And at the end of the hallway was a girl standing and in front of the mirror. And at first I thought it was me because it looked so much like me. But the difference was either my hair was in pigtails and hers was down, or vice versa. And, you know, it's been so long. I honestly can't remember which way it was, but I know that we were reversed, and that's what sort of gave me that, oh crap, what in the hell is going on? So I ran downstairs and told my aunts and my mom that there was a little girl upstairs that I didn't know. And they're like, I'm sure it's one of your cousins. And, you know, I was 5 or 6 years old. I think I knew all of my cousins. So they went upstairs and there was nobody up there. None of the kids were up there. There was nobody. And years later, I, ended up seeing this girl again. Fast forward till, let's see, probably 2000, probably 2013. I remember my daughter my baby had just been born. I had a 3-year-old daughter and my husband was working nights. And so he was gone. My daughters and I were in bed, and I felt something at the end of the bed, and I looked, and it looked like my daughter, who she had sat up at the edge of the bed. And I said, Madeline, lay down. Nothing. Maddie, lay down. Nothing. Maddie, lay down, or you're going to fall off the bed. Nothing. No commentary, nothing. So I flip over, turn the light on, and my daughter, I'm sorry. Before I flip the light on, she goes, I'm not Maddie, mommy. And I was like, wow. I'm not Maddie, mommy. And I was like, lay down. So I flipped the light on and there was nobody there. My daughter was under the covers, dead asleep. And that shocked me because I thought, oh my God, that looked exactly like that little girl. So when you think about these two events and you put them together, you think, huh, is this did this really happen? Did I really see this girl when I was a child? And I did ask my mom, I said, do you remember me ever mentioning seeing a little girl upstairs in the mirror and it looked like me, but it wasn't me? And she goes, yeah, I remember that. You know, where our everybody ran upstairs to see. And having those two images in my head, they look like they can just go over top of each other and be an exact replica. So, did I see this girl twice in my life? And was she another one of my children? Was she a hybrid? Was she, what was that? So that's one little thing that's
Wow.
got me connected from my early times to my later ET times.
That is very interesting. Now, at what time did you start experiencing, I guess, more of what some might consider an extraterrestrial phenomenon? Because I completely agree. All this is connected in somehow, paranormal activity, ghost spirits, extraterrestrials, consciousness link, psychic activity. It's all connected some way, I believe, in profound ways, probably. But when did your experiences start to shift a little to more of that aspect?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think that some people are able to connect to a higher source, whether it's a source of consciousness, like a universal consciousness, where we can connect and get information and share ideas. But, you know, I started having experiences that I would consider more extraterrestrial when I was pregnant with my first daughter. I'd had some times like missing time before that while I was working on the base. And that was on the NATO base on Nanphy. But I didn't really know how to relate it until later in life when I started having more of these ET episodes. I started to learn more about what's going on in that world. I really didn't have a connection. I was not really into science fiction. I had never really thought about little men climbing around the desert. I had never really considered that as an option in reality until one night when I was pregnant with my first daughter. So I remember that I was very, very pregnant. I was very uncomfortable and I rolled and I remember seeing a bright light and immediately I opened my eyes and there are these two beings and they look like orbs that are about a foot and a half diameter each, two of them. And inside they're sort of glowing like this electric blue light. And inside there was a face that looked more triangular with large eyes. And it freaked me out. I didn't know what to think. I was kicking and punching and screaming. It was unnerving because I realized that I could see these beings with my eyes open and with them closed. And so that really flipped my shit. It really did.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on because I know I was kicking out and trying for them to get away. And I remember them saying, "What can we do to make you stop screaming?" And I was like, "You can get the fuck out of here." You know,
Yeah.
it was like I really was losing it. And my
Yeah.
husband, I'm trying to beat him to wake him up because he was home this night. I'm like, "Oh, turn the light on, turn the light on." And he couldn't see anything. And I'm like, "You're just stupid. That's why you can't see it." You know, I'm like, God,
Oh,
and
man.
he didn't see it, so that really shocked me, and that was sort of my initiation into the world of ETs.
Now, it's so interesting that you say he couldn't see it and mm-hmm. you could. You know, I've had my own experience where I've seen things, you know, a UFO that someone else couldn't see. But I hear this all the time amongst experiencers. You know, they'll be having an experience where they can physically see something, or, you know, it may not be physical what they're seeing, but they can see it with their own eyes. And the person that's with them doesn't know what they're talking about. They can't see anything. And I'm wondering if you think this is some kind of frequency issue, to where you're in tune with a different kind of frequency that's part of our spectrum of vision than most people, or that everyone has access to this. You just need to kind of retune your frequency to get access to these different fields and spectrums of vision that we can't normally access. Do you think that's what's going on?
I think that is what's going on. What's funny is that, you know, my co-host, Kevin Hale, he always says that he's not, his wires aren't crossed appropriately. He doesn't have the equipment turned on. And that may be the case. There may be certain people who just are more likely to, I don't know, be able to, God, I don't know.
Well, I know for me, like in my experiences, I've had a few contact experiences, but they're different than a lot of other people's. Mine was initiated through meditation, and, you know, I was kind of seeking this kind of contact experience, and it was with very benevolent, loving beings. I would, you know, even call them, you know, guardian angel like entities. But for me, it was not so much I saw these beings, but I felt their presence. I could psychically hear and communicate with them in my mind. I could see the light, or the frequency of light that they were emitting, bright, beautiful lights. But I didn't actually see these beings. And I know it's different for each person, and you know, it's probably that some people, you know, have this visual aspect of the phenomenon where they can see them more, some of them can hear or sense them more.
Well, think of it like, you know, different types of psychics. Mm-hmm. There can be clairaudient, clairsentient.
Yes.
You know, there's telekinesis, there's all these different powers, right? And all of these different ways of using our brains and our bodies as machines. It's a very, very difficult thing to master, but I think that meditation is one of those ways to access that information and that universal consciousness. If you practice, some people have the ability without practicing, but I would say that we can all choose to meditate and learn how to meditate, which puts our brain in a situation where we are more like antenna.
Right.
So
now it seems like your experiences so far, especially the extraterrestrial ones, weren't that positive. Did it remain that way, or did you have any other experiences that maybe turned a little bit more positive?
You know, that was not a negative moment. I really didn't see that as a negative visitation. It was more of a shock than anything.
Right, I got you.
It was not negative. I really did look back at it and think, my God, what was that? You know, and the way that they, the comments that they made, you know, what can we do to make you stop screaming, or, you know, to calm you down? That's not a negative entity, I wouldn't think. The intent wasn't fear. Now, later in life, I experienced more of what I would consider negative entities. Mm-hmm. There's been a guy who pops in and out every once in a while, and he is a very large being. The first few times that I saw him, I really was scared to the point of near death. He was a very large being. And after I saw him a few times, I finally was able to tamper down that fear to be able to look at him and try to figure out what he was and what it was that scared me about him. And I think at one point I looked at him and I said, "Oh my God, you're just a man." And as soon as I said, "You're just a man," he said, it was the strangest thing. Like this look came over his face, like, "Oh, is that what you think I am?" And his image, his whole face changed, and it like rippled into and morphed into this like a reptilian. That's all I can think is a reptilian. It's like a dragon face, and the shape, the skin, everything changed. And I was put in my place. I was definitely in a place of fear at that point. And he was like, "I am not just a man." And you would be sort of screwed up to think that that's all they are. Because when it comes down to it, these beings can walk through walls and drag you from your slumber. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's very little you can do about it. And so that's a hard thing to accept and understand, especially when you're alone and you don't have anyone to share it with. So part of the reason why I ended up going through this whole podcasting world and getting back into radio is because I don't feel like it's necessary for everyone to struggle by themselves. It's a very silent, painful existence if you don't have anyone to talk to about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I feel the same way. That's why I love having guests like yourself that come on and help the audience understand the phenomenon, especially if they've had, you know, traumatic experiences with it. Now, this experience with this reptilian entity, did these continue? Did you have any other similar experiences?
I have, yeah. They like to visit. There was a time when I moved into this current house that I'm in, where I was having visits almost every single night. And my new husband, it was my boyfriend, fiance at the time, mm-hmm. He's a very protective person. He's very protective of me and the girls. And when it came down to it, he was trying to figure out what was going on with me. He couldn't see it, but he knew that something was happening. And fortunately, my new husband is a Bigfoot hunter. So he has lots of technological equipment that Sweet. He uses to put out in the field for hunting for the most elusive beast on earth, and put up 4 cameras in our bedroom for an entire year. And they were recording 24 hours a day. Now, we didn't really see a whole lot in the videos, but when I have an experience, there would be orbs flying around. The cats would see them. The dogs would see them. You know, there was responses from the animals and myself when I was having experiences, and then there would be orbs and things that you can see in the video. Wow. But no little beings, no right. tall mantis people. You couldn't see anything like that. So
that, you know, that's what makes, you know, this phenomenon so hard for many people to understand. You know, when you tell them things like, you know, you set up the camera and you were experiencing all these strange things, but nothing shows up, you know, maybe mm-hmm. orbs, but mm-hmm. they don't understand that this is probably more of a consciousness phenomenon, to where it may appear to be sleeping, but your consciousness is interacting with something else and may even be taken somewhere else. And that's really
hard. Well, most of the time
most
of the time you could see me reacting. I mean, I would wake him up, and I mean, there would be live interaction, and then you'd see the orbs flying around the room mm-hmm. when I'm trying to explain what's going on. And that's the other thing, is that most of my experiences happen not in sleep state, but in conscious state. No meditation required, no drugs required, no stimulus, you know, stimulants. There was, you know, nothing like that. So when you talk about having vivid, coherent, conscious experiences, that's different than what a lot of people talk about, because
you
mentioned you went into a meditative state and you can get to that point and sort of dream walk or whatever you want to call it and do. But with mine, most of them have been conscious, awake experiences.
They come to you.
I know, like a lot of times before I have an experience, I will get a tingling in my body, and it's like a knowledge that they're gonna show up. So it's like a mental preparation for what's about to happen. But it's definitely a difficult life.
Now I want to get
when you accept it.
Oh, and it can be for, you know, like for myself, my experiences have been all, you know, very pleasant experiences, and I haven't had that more kind of in your face physical aspect. And, you know, I'm kind of glad I haven't. That's, you know, it seems kind of a bit much at times, but to be able to hear your experiences and understand it, that's, you know, it's really fascinating to get a different perspective and aspect of this. But I want to hear about your experiences that happened after you got involved contracting for the military. Before that, did you have anything that was kind of like a indicator that there was like military involvement in any of this?
Well, like I said, my grandfather was in the Strategic Air Command. He started in the Air Force. Well, actually, I think it was the Army is what they started out as in 1947. And then it went over to then they opened the Air Force, right? I think he was like right at the beginning when it was Army switched over to the new Air Force. But he was an interesting character. I was the first grandchild to go to college. I was accepted to the Air Force Academy. I had like a presidential nomination, which is super exclusive and rare. And I was told by 9 different pilots not to go. It was not a good time. They told me not to go. And of course, I listened to them, which was a decent idea, because my class, we found out later, I don't remember if it was 2002 or 3 when they started talking about how they were hazing female cadets at the Air Force Academy, and that would have been my class. So I think I sort of skirted past some bad situations potentially from there, but not saying that there's anything wrong with them. I just was not the person to go. So I think that they reeled me back in another way to get me back and get me involved with the government. I think that was part of the plan, is to keep me close and be able to sort of control my life.
Now, when you say they, do you mean the extraterrestrials or some maybe dark faction?
I have a feeling that they're sort of, you know,
one and the same, just possibly a dark faction of our military industrial complex controlled by extraterrestrials.
Yeah, I mean I don't have any answers for you when it comes to that, but I do feel that it was a way to keep me close. You know, I didn't go into the Air Force. I didn't go into the Air Force Academy, but they got me on the flip side of college anyway. So
now, what were some of the experiences that occurred after you started getting involved with the military?
You know, it was sort of strange, because I spent a lot of time by myself, and I went to a lot of places that I call places of power. Such as old ancient sites like ancient Aptera and Thessaloniki. And there's some places in both of those areas, so on the mainland of Greece and on the island of Crete, there's these areas that just have so much power. And I feel like you almost go and get a sort of a charge, almost like your electric car. You go in, and so I would go to these places and feel like some kind of energetic boost. And the only negative things that happened were a few episodes of missing time while I was working at night on the base. I was alone. There was nobody to verify whether anything happened, but I started to have really bad episodes of like panic attacks and stuff like that. And I felt like I felt threatened. I felt very threatened. I felt to the point where I ended up bringing one of my Belgian shepherds with me to work, because I couldn't identify what was going on. And I had never heard of missing time. I had never investigated anything when it came to the ET phenomenon. I had no clue. So when you don't know what's going on, you don't know what the potentials are. I was just a sitting duck for what was happening. I couldn't do anything about it. And I didn't know what to be looking for. I had no idea what was going on.
Right. Now, when was it that you kind of started to have a better understanding of the phenomenon and put some pieces together and start doing some research into it?
It hit me as being weird. And I just had two kids and I had mommy brain. I was so exhausted a lot of times that I didn't really have time to think about it until my girls were a little bit bigger. In 2015, 2014 or 15, I ended up having an experience where I had my girlfriend over, my husband was at work, my girlfriend left at 10:30 p.m. My youngest daughter got up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't put her right down. So I started playing some Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on TV, and I just figured, you know, it's 10:30. I'll let her watch this for a few minutes. She'll fall asleep and I'll take her to bed. At 2:40, I awake outside on my patio and I'm sitting on my couch. My body is face down and my hands are down by my feet. My face is at my knees. And my daughter is screaming at the top of her lungs at me. She's in a diaper. She has a t-shirt on, but it's inside out. And it has her arm twisted in one of the armholes. And I was so stunned and so shocked that I couldn't understand what was going on. I couldn't understand why we were outside. It was 40 degrees outside. It was in October. And it was freezing. There is no way in hell I would walk outside with my daughter in a t-shirt and a diaper in October in the middle of the night. And so when you have sort of situations like this happen that you can't understand, you start reaching. And I really had no concept of what was going on. And that's when I started looking into abductions. When it came to the ETs, I sort of just had to accept the fact that something was going on and it was beyond our normal reality. Doesn't end or doesn't stop the fact that it's happening. You know, just because you can't understand it doesn't mean it's going to stop.
Right. Did you ever have any physical symptoms or like anything like implants or scarring, scoop marks, anything of that nature?
You know, I've had some strange bruising. I have had experiences throughout the years where I wake up, then I do have bruises. But when it comes down to it, I think that each day I wake up, I'm here, I do what I'm supposed to be doing. I take care of my kids, homework, school, all the basics, cooking dinner. I've got other things to worry about than, you know, bruises and where they came from. You know, right. I mean, it's one of those things that it's like, huh, okay, well, you know, I wake up every day, so what can I say?
Do you have any ideas if there are different, I guess you could say, races or different types of beings that have a certain interest in you? I mean, I know they have interest in all of us, but you think that there are kind of maybe not the same type of extraterrestrial with different types of
different agendas?
Yeah.
I know that I've seen different types of entities. You know, I do believe that there's all different types, just like there's all different races on Earth. There's all different colors of people, mm-hmm. Sizes, shapes.
Well, I'm
agendas.
Talking about for your personal experiences.
Yeah. I've had different types of entities, and that's what I'm saying. I do feel like there probably is diverse as there is species on Earth. I can't imagine putting a number on it and being accurate, because that's really ignorance. Limiting the potential of life and different types of being. That's just crazy.
So. Now, what are your thoughts? Do you think that they are physical beings that are coming here from different galaxies, different planets, and they can actually travel here on spaceships and interact with us on a physical type way? Or are they maybe non-corporeal entities that have a way of projecting into consciousness, or more of a spiritual type of interdimensional being, or a combination of all of the above?
You're trying to put some kind of human rationality into it, and I don't think that that's a potential. I think that there's, like I said, colors of the rainbow. Yeah, I don't think that we can really relate. We are just not developed enough yet.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. You know, I always wonder what, you know, the nature of reality is. If there, you know, if there's actually an outer space where we can go and travel to the stars, or is it actually all just dimensional, mm-hmm. where we live in some kind of realm or plane that's maybe a holographic reality that these entities can jump in and out of? And that's always mm-hmm. been a really fascinating question for me, because you get both aspects of it, and you get all the weird things between, like Bigfoot and cryptids and all this other high strangeness.
Okay, so we just watched the movie Free Guy. Do you know what that is?
Ryan Reynolds? I watched it the other day. Yeah.
All right. I only watched a little bit of it, but it reminds me of this virtual reality situation, right? He puts these glasses on and he sees all of these different amazing features that you can pop into your life. You can, you know, kill, you know, run people over and get 10 points. Great. You know, it's I always think, my gosh, what if we are only activated so that we can only see one little portion of reality? We can only function so much because that's just what's expected. You know, we're just not at the next level yet. So, I don't know. I think that the mind is a powerful tool also, and being able to project things from our minds into reality is just a matter of degree. So, you know, who's to say there's only one other type of being out there that can only show up in the physical form? I disagree. I think that there's plenty of different types of entities and levels of consciousness and levels of reality and different dimensions that we just don't always have the access code to.
Do you have any further insights to what could possibly be happening with our military involvement in this? You know, I know that you were involved with the military. You've had these experiences that you just talked about, but there's also the aspect of a lot of people's experiences that are more on the negative side they'll look over and see someone like in a military uniform along with the extraterrestrial. There's always kind of this human aspect to it. Not always, but for many of these more negative experiences. And I find that very interesting. Any further insights into what could be this military interest and involvement or and how long it could have been going on?
Let me tell you one other little experience that I had, and it was a very quick, brief experience. I awoke in this almost like a cavern, as an underground area. Had strange lighting, didn't look like, it looked almost more like ambient lighting than actual light bulbs or anything like that. And it looked like these halls had been carved out or drilled out in a circular fashion. I awoke to find myself on a gurney, and to my left was standing a tall gray. And I'm looking around. The only thing, I can't move my body, but I'm able to look around, and I do see some men in camo, like fatigues, over to my left. And all I see is just the brief flash of some people walking by. And this being looking down at me, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, where the heck am I? And he goes, you're not supposed to be awake. And I just said, sorry about that. And then just like totally lost consciousness. So I think that sometimes our minds can push through these push against the powers that they're using. And I do think that that's a mental thing. I think it is a sort of a psychic gift rather than fighting their technology. I think it's more of a psychic nature. And some people can just push a little harder through the bonds, I guess.
Do you think that we are an aspect of them, that we may have been in some way created by them at some point? You know, there's the story of, you know, Sumerian tablets from the story of the Anunnaki that may have taken hominid DNA, spliced it with their own, and boom, you get humans. But there's also other stories of creation that have aspects of possible off-planet tinkering as well. But what do you think? Do you think that we are maybe them, or they might be us from the future? Or what do you think about that?
I sort of feel like we are an experiment. Mm-hmm. I think that our humanity is, you know, is varied as a rainbow when it comes to the types of human beings. You know, teeny tiny little bitty short people to absolutely gigantic people, and you know, black as night to white as a marshmallow. I mean, there's everything in between. I sort of feel like we are an experiment. I think we're a social experiment. I think this is generation 2, 3, 4, 500. A million. I don't know how many times we've been here, but I do believe that we're a social experiment.
Do you think that there is hybridization programs going on to where some of these species are walking amongst us?
Yes, I do. I think that that would be very easy for them to do. We've been tampering with our genetics for a very long time, and we have been able to artificially inseminate humans for a very long time. I think that this is all an experiment, and maybe just to see how long it takes for us to become a completely blended, homogenous human. I don't know, you know, blending, tinkering with our genetics along the way, trying to figure out either how to make us more acceptable and docile, get rid of some of our anger and warfaring ways. But I don't know, it could be Something totally different.
It could be. What are your thoughts on some of the recent happenings with, I hate even calling it disclosure because that's not what it is. I'm starting to see a pattern with all of this. It's the same thing that they did with Project Blue Book. They'll throw a little out there and then they reel it back in to where it's non-existent almost, and then it'll be silence for years. And then they'll throw something else out there and be like, oh, excitement, UFOs, aliens, and they'll reel it back in and be like, no, it was a swamp gas. And then there'll be silence for years. And it seems like that's what they just did again. 2017, New York Times article comes out, oh my gosh, aliens, and then they reeled it back. No, not really. Could be the Russians, silence, And we're in another period of silence with the UFOs. So, are you seeing the same kind of patterns there? I think it's
I
just to
was
keep us guessing, you
excited.
know?
I was excited to see what they had to say. I knew it wasn't going to be a whole lot. We've already had disclosure. People know. We know that they're just trying to keep a lid on it and they're just trying to stay afloat. When it comes to our government right now, we are totally screwed.
Agreed.
And you can't really, aliens is the last thing on their mind. We've got too many other things to worry about. They're giving us a freebie here and there. But it's not anything more than what we've already known for the past 40 years. They didn't give us anything that we didn't already know. They gave us a video from 2004 that is everybody's already seen on the internet. They didn't throw us anything that we could use. If anything, they were like, yeah, they're real. We don't know what they are. We don't know how they fly, but they're here. So.
I mean, if they, say by some miracle they were to bring it back up and then start looking into it more and maybe admit a little bit more. Do you think that our planet and society and the people are ready to find out about life other than themselves on this planet?
Well, think about how many people already believe in a supreme being, a god that you can't see. I think that people would be willing to invite people, entities that have a higher sense of, I don't know, a higher sense of morals, maybe. But if they don't have that, then I don't know where we're going to go with it. What I mean, besides extra technology, maybe that they can give us to use. We're always looking for something that we can get out of the situation. And I'm not sure if we can benefit from anyone else. I think that we're very ignorant on a pretty general basis.
Well, speaking of kind of being ignorant as humanity, it seems that we are going through a bit of an awakening. At least some of us are. A lot of people are realizing, like you said, that the government is no hope to us, that we've been lied to about so much our whole lives, history, science, religion, spirituality, all these things that are not the way the true nature of reality works, but they wanted to keep us believing this for their own personal reasons. We're learning about this more and more, and there's this aspect of humanity that's kind of coming online right now, and there's this spark occurring in like non-player characters, like you were talking about with Free Guy. So these people are coming online and realizing a lot of things about themselves, and looking into some of the more conspiratorial or woo-woo subjects, metaphysical topics as well. I have a lot of friends that are considering, extraterrestrials, aliens, ghosts, spirits, all this stuff that I would have never thought they were just in the past couple of years. And I think it has to do a lot with the climate we've seen since 2020. So, do you see the same thing, an aspect of humanity kind of waking up and coming online?
I do. Even when it comes to our children, I mean, I feel that my kids are in tune to their feelings a lot more. And I don't mean that they're crybabies. I mean that they really do have just a heightened sense of self and a heightened sense of what is meaningful. And that's something that we could use. We need to have more of that. And me being their mom is probably not the best thing because, you know, I always have a broader perspective of reality than most people. And I can see I can see things that matter to me, and I can see how they will benefit my children, but they may not be the same mainstream bullshit that you're going to hear every day. I can tell that people are changing, not just me, not just my children, but people are changing. We are trying to figure out what it all means, and the ET reality is part of that, and it has been. It, you know, when we, when you have pictures, you have pictures from, you know, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, that show beings, people with halos. What were the halos? You know, what were the rays of light going up to what looked like little spacecrafts in Renaissance paintings? You know, there's lots of little bitty tiny hints throughout our history. If you just take them, put them together, and try to connect the dots, I think that that would help people figure out what spirituality really means, and what are who are the entities that created mankind. Not just one. I think that there's more.
Right. Yeah, and I think spirituality and ET phenomenon, it goes hand in hand. You look at
I
the
think it has for a long
Bible.
time.
Yes, stories of the Bible, ancient scriptures, even before that, Egyptian mythos, Sumerian, it's all the same stories told through different lenses, through different times, but these
And we've used different
beings,
terminology
right,
throughout the
yes.
years to describe similar situations and scenarios, but we've not been able to really find and agree on a good terms to use for these topics. And until we get the correct terms, we're going to be leading a shit show. I think that there's a lot of things holding us back, religion and politics amongst the top.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's a lot of that holding us back. But I do have hope with the amount of people, like I said, that are kind of coming online right now. And you mentioned the ancients and extraterrestrials and contact experiences and how it seemed to be just a normal part of their reality, where they knew these entities existed, they communicated with them, they drew pictures of them. Some were considered gods. Do you think that we will ever get back to an age where we'll be communicating just openly with these entities and we'll just be a normal thing? Say hi to Jody the alien this morning,
I think some people do that anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know what? Over the past 40, 50 years, they've tried to demonize us, and it's changing little by little. Like I said, coming forth with my information, it wasn't because I wanted to popularize my story. It was because I wanted people to understand that they're not alone. This is happening all over the world. The contact that we're experiencing is very, it's varied because there are different entities connecting with us. You know, you may be only
able to connect with one different type or one specific type of entity or one entity on a certain dimension or level. I don't have an answer. I do feel like there are dueling communities, and there may be entities that are trying to take over the world. Why not? Our government tries to do this shit all the time. Yeah. You know, you got one party hating the other party, and you know what? There's always another one trying to sneak up the rear. So, you know, that's we're not unfamiliar with that logic and that positioning. It's here. Some people are only able to connect to lower dimensional beings, and that's how it's always going to be. And then there's some who can connect with different types.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now,
got to get yourself straight.
Yeah.
Get yourself straight, or you're only going to relate to negative entities.
Definitely. Now, to close out tonight, I wanted to talk about how you feel about the different timelines that humanity seems to be on right now. There seems we've got two directions that we could go. Some people are already gung-ho on one direction, and you know, they're afraid of certain things, and you know, they're afraid of losing certain things, so they're going to comply with certain things. And there's this other timeline where there's no fear, and they just people are going about their lives like it's their normal life, and it's a very positive timeline. I would want to get your thoughts on the future here. Do you think these timelines will continue to diverge, and we're going to see more of a kind of dystopian reality for some? Or do you think we may be able to bring it back together and have a little bit better of an outcome within our lifetime as far as you know, the direction we're going?
Well, let me just tell you that I am not going to just fall over and die. Right. I'm going to go down a guns and blazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't like the idea of physical threat and physical harm and the potential of... there is a deep dark path that you could go down, and we've started this about a year ago, right? With this threat and chaos of COVID and all of that. Yes, you can have that negative thought and just run with it and just live in a state of fear. I try not to do that. But, God, I really do feel our state is going to be, losing. I think we're going down a negative path, and I don't know how to avoid that. I'd like to live in La La Land, but I can't, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we do live in terrifying times, but I think that if we have as many people like yourself that aren't going to be afraid and going to stand their ground and going to fight for what they believe no matter what, the opposite side's terrified of that. They don't want to fight. Honestly, no. They don't want to stand up and do anything except make sure that we're afraid. But if we're not afraid and we stand back up, they are pissing themselves. So I think that we have a very good chance of turning this around, especially if we keep it up in these numbers, you know.
Well, there was a meme earlier, or well, it was a TikTok where this guy says, oh, you know, we're gonna start a civil war and you better be ready. And then this guy goes, all right, I accept your civil war. And he's like, well, don't you have to think about it for a little bit? He's like, nope. I already thought about it. And you know, he's like, are you sure about that? Don't you have to get some guns or something? And they're like, nope, actually, we typically have all the guns.
You know? Yeah.
And that's how it is. You know, I am prepared. I'm prepared for any outcome. Yeah. I don't want to be naive and think that only one thing could potentially happen. Our world is a shit show right now. It's a storm. And being ignorant
is not going to help the situation. You need to go in eyes wide open, not shut. And that's pretty much the only thing that I can say is don't be caught with your pants down around your ankles. Right. You know, you better be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big part of like what we're all doing is bringing information to people so they can be ready, so they can make decisions for themselves and realize what's going on. And Tiffany,
and it does relate to the UFO topic. You know,
It's all connected.
When I say you better be ready, I mean, they may be knocking at your door soon. I don't know. I have no concept of what their plan is. But when it comes to visitations and having these experiences, I believe that anybody can have them. It's it may depend on your chemistry, the state of being that you're in. And I know that my co-host has talked about he would love to be able to, you know, take a trip, whether it be through LSD or ayahuasca or something like that. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, that may not be a true experience. You may just be hallucinating something that's not existing at all. So when you say, I'm going to, you know, take some drugs and see if I can connect, I don't necessarily think that that's the key either. I don't think that people should just go out and start taking hallucinogenic drugs just to have an experience where they may or may not have seen an ET. Right. That's probably a lot more painful process than you need. So, you know, I think that if you can meditate, like you said that you do, I think that meditation may bring you closer to that type of reality than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Meditation is a great way, especially for myself. But there are, you know, there's other ways that I've heard of from contactees besides meditation as well, you know, such as, you know, just intent. Sometimes they just show up like for you, which would be quite amazing. You know, I still haven't had them just show up for me, but that would be great.
Well, I don't know how amazing it is. You got to think that, you know, when they just pop in whenever they want to, they're disturbing your night. I had maybe 2 years ago, it was almost every single night. Single night for a year. And I, you know, it got to the point where my husband was like, shut up. You know, it's like, don't tell me anymore. Just keep it to yourself. And, you know, so it's not always a pleasure. So, right. But I will say keeping an open mind is important, and being calm. Like if you do see something, there's no point in freaking out and just pee in the bed. It doesn't help. So being calm and being able to ask questions, once you get past the fear, you can actually communicate. And so that's the special part.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, being able to communicate about the experience, and that's what this is all about. Tiffany, I want to thank you again so much for coming on. That was awesome information, amazing experiences. And before you go, I'd love for you to tell the audience about if you have anything interesting coming up on your podcast, Universal Secrets, or anything else you'd like to talk about before you leave, anything you're working on.
Well, we have taken a break from my show. I was feeling a lot of stress after our event. We had an event called Contact at the Compound. It was our second year and we really enjoyed it. I hosted it at my house the beginning of October, and I had Sierra Nablina and Terry Lovelace, Micah Hanks, Rebecca Gerasitano, and Jamin Olivencia, and my husband. And we were just having a really good conference on UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, and different phenomena. So I just sort of felt like I needed a break. So we're taking that break this month. Nice. Hopefully coming back in December, right before the holiday. And
I am actually writing a book. I'm editing a book that I've already written. So that's part of the taking the time off from our podcast in order to get some work done on that. So
sweet. Well, we will be looking forward to reading that book then. That'd be great. Awesome. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much again for coming on. And I'd love to have you back on sometime. This was fun.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, have a great day. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll see you again tomorrow.